Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's in your bulletin, but I would encourage you to have your own Bible or Bible app open because we'll be referring to other parts of the scripture. Quick question, Cindy, for that song, I love new songs. Sing a new song unto the Lord. That's great. And this is a new song, yeah, for me. And the reason why I love new songs is usually at work, when I'm at school walking down up and down the halls, and the melody from that Sunday comes to me. It's the new song. And then I have to remember the words. And there's an old saying in the Christian church, he who sings prays twice. When you sing, especially a worship song, you're offering a prayer to God. And the beauty of this is it's the Beatitudes, which we'll be studying. And it will help us, or help me, to remember what I'm studying because it brings it into my heart. So great. Thank you so much for the new song. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5. And as you can see from the picture, we're going to be looking at the most famous, most important, and the greatest sermon ever preached by anyone in history of sermons. And this is a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus Christ. For the last 3 months, from January until March, and actually April, we studied who Jesus is, the character of Jesus Christ. So many of the places where Jesus says, I am the truth, I am the bread of life, I am the living water, I am the resurrection and the life, I am, all the times where he says, I am, we wanted to meditate and see the character and the person of Jesus Christ. And now, from this Sunday, we're going to look at the teachings, the words of Jesus Christ. So, if you have ever wondered, what is a Christian? What does a Christian believe? What does a Christian do? Where do I go to find out what it means to be a Christian? If you ever wondered, do I go to Genesis? Do I go to the Psalms? Do I go to the epistles of Paul? Do I read the Gospels? Yes, 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 and yes. But if there's ever a place where you wonder, what is it that Christians believe? How do I follow Jesus Christ? This is the place you go. This is the baseline. This is the foundation right here. I would ask you a question. Imagine that you die, and at your grave, there's a stone. And on the stone, it's written, you know, the day you're born, the day you die. Okay? And then after that, you don't have a sentence. Instead, there are four words about you. What are those four words on your gravestone? What words would you choose? Only four. Not a sentence, not a quote, not a scripture verse. Four words that describe you. Now, what words would you choose? And let's flip it. What words would everybody else choose about you? Are they the same? I'm scared to think about what that would be. Okay, I have four words that I want for myself, but if my children were the ones deciding what the four words were, yeah, maybe different. Yeah. The Sermon on the Mount begins not with four words, but with nine. There are nine things that Jesus says are the characters of the kingdom of God. These nine things describe a Christian life, the follower of Jesus. These nine things. That's how he starts his sermon. Today, I think we'll have time for the first one. So we'll be singing this song, hopefully, more, maybe this month. Okay? So we're going to read from chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And let's just read it. Well, I'll start. I'll read verses 1 and 2, and join me from verse 3 to 5. So here's Matthew chapter 5. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, and he said, let's read together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The very words of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let's begin with the beginning. At the top it says, Jesus saw the crowds. He went up to the mountainside, sat down. His disciples came, and he began to teach them. So the question is, who are they? Who is them? And maybe you think, well, it's the disciples. They're the antecedent to the pronoun them. Okay, so let's take a look. If you're in your Bible or your Bible app, go back to chapter 4, because this is chapter 5, verse 1, and we get a big hint or a big clue as to who are they, and it's a clear picture. So in verse 12, chapter 4, Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, and he withdrew to Galilee. Verse 17, from that time, from when? The time that John had been put in prison. From that time, Jesus began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, why did Jesus wait to start preaching, when John was in prison? John, his cousin, is the last prophet of the Old Testament. He's the last Old Covenant prophet. What do you mean? Please listen. The story of the Bible, starting from the beginning, is that heaven and earth were one. The place called Eden. And you and me, our parents, Adam and Eve, were together in Eden. And God said, humans, make the rest of this world like this garden. Bring heaven to the rest of the world. Bring the beauty, the truth, the goodness, the order, the abundance of this garden. Bring it all out into the earth. You have my authority. You have my image. You have my name. You are my sons and daughters, my representatives to the earth. That's what God told our parents in Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1. And then our parents said, thank you, no thank you. We'll take the earth and we'll make it the kingdom of man instead of the kingdom of heaven. And so God said, go without me. And that's what we did. We left Eden without God. We were thrown out of Eden without God. And the rest of the story is God bringing us back. God bringing heaven to earth. He starts with Noah and the flood. He goes to Abraham and his children, the 12 kids who become the 12 tribes, who became Israel, and now he wants to be in Israel so that Israel, when they're in the world, can make heaven, can make the earth like heaven. That's God's plan. And then you have the prophets, starting with Joshua, then the judges, Samuel, the kings, the Chronicles. The whole history of Israel is God trying to establish heaven on earth, starting with Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, all around the world. And then they failed, and so God had prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, Jonah, Malachi, all of them. And all of them were trying to say, come back. Come back to Eden. You're going out into the world. Turn around. Repent. Face the other way. Because God's kingdom is coming. John was the last of those prophets. He gets put into jail. And so now it's Jesus. Jesus says, it's my turn. The old covenant is finished. I'm here to bring the new one. And so Matthew 4, Jesus is now going to start preaching. What's he preaching? Same message. Come back. Turn away from sin. Turn away from pride, your selfishness, your arrogance, and come back. The kingdom of heaven is come. I am here. I have brought heaven to earth. And then verse 18, he starts getting his disciples. Not 12, starts with 4. Two sets of two brothers. Verse 18, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. He says, follow me. Verse 20, they followed him. Verse 21, he goes to two more brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Follow me. And immediately they followed him. So now he has four followers, four disciples. Andrew, Peter, James, and John. And they followed him. So who are his followers? Fishermen. We keep going. Matthew 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee. This is the north area. Teaching in the synagogues. Proclaiming good news of the kingdom. So he's teaching. He's preaching. And he's healing. What is he healing? Everything. You have a cold? Come on. You have the flu? Let me lay hands on you. You have leprosy? I'll touch you. Let me fix you. You have a broken leg, broken arm? Any disease? Every sickness. Verse 24. He became popular. The news spread all over Syria. Further to the north, people brought to him all who were with various diseases, suffering from severe pain, demon-possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed. He healed all of them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, now it's moving south. And the region across the Jordan, and they all followed him. So these large crowds of who? Fishermen, his first disciples, diseased. If you're diseased, what does that mean? You can't work. If you can't work, you're poor. If you're poor, you're unimportant. So it's the poor, the sick. And if you notice here, if it says here, demon-possessed and having seizures. You know what that means? In our modern, advanced, technological society, it means what Pastor Hiroshi says, mentally disordered. Mentally diseased. Psychological disorders. For some of us who come from more traditional, less advanced, more connected countries and societies, we understand. Demon-possessed means demon-possessed. Spiritually oppressed. Controlled by malevolent and evil powers. Both are true. So, mentally ill. Spiritually oppressed. And if you're mentally ill, or you're diseased, or you're paralyzed, you're broke. You can't work. You're not connected to community. You're outside of society. What does that mean? You have no money. Therefore, you have no status. You have no status, no power, no influence, no position. You're not the boss. You're not a teacher. You're not an influencer. You have no followers on social media. You don't even have social media. You can't afford it. Okay, so I see where we're going now. Now, we go to chapter 5, and we see the crowds. He saw the crowds. The poor, the blind, the paralyzed, the mentally disabled, the psychologically disordered, the emotionally, spiritually bankrupt. His uneducated fishermen disciples, they came to him, and here's what he says to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Do you see who he's talking to and why he's saying the mourners, the meeks, and the poor in spirit? Are you seeing the picture? Now let's look at the word blessed. Hashtag blessed. On my Facebook, on my Instagram, on my TikTok, right? I graduated. I got a promotion. Here's my new shoes. Hashtag blessed. Okay? What does it mean? Well, it's an old pattern. This is what teachers would say all the time. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one who doesn't act like a jerk to other people, but loves the word of God and is constantly thinking about God's word and ways. Blessed. Psalm 84. Blessed are those who are often in church. But basically, he's talking about the priests who dwell in your house. Blessed are the church workers, because they're constantly in the presence of God. They are ever praising you. Verse 5, Psalm 84. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on privilege. Who are they? Those are not church workers. Those are not priests in the temple. They're people who are longing for God so much that they will travel distances just to be with the people of God in the place where God is in the temple. And then verse 12, Psalm 84, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So blessed, there's two words in the Hebrew, Baruch and Arise. Baruch means the one who has the favor and abundance through the generosity of God. Favor, abundance from God's generosity. And then the other word is basically the one who says, that's the good life. That's this word. The one living the good life, because their life is full of abundance and connection to God. That's the good life. It's blessed. That's the word in the Hebrew. And then Jesus uses the word in the Greek. But before we go to Jesus, let me show you some other Greek writings. This is not in the Bible, but this is writings from around the time of Jesus, other teachers. This is from what's called the Qumran scrolls. Qumran is a place outside of Jerusalem near the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Qumran is a place of caves, lots of caves. And one day a shepherd lost his goat, and he thought a goat was going into the cave. And he's going in there, he wants to see if there's anything in the cave. So before he goes into the cave, he picks up a rock, he throws it into the cave, and he hears the rock break something. Break like a pot, a clay pot. So he goes into the cave, and he discovers a library of scrolls all contained in clay pots. It's all in the caves of Qumran. It turns out this was a community of people living in the 2nd century BC all the way to Jesus' time. They said, forget society, forget the rat race, It's all corrupted. All these politicians, all these merchants, all these businesses, forget about it. They left society. They decided to live as monks. And you know what they did all day, every day? They copied the Bible. And it's called the Qumran community, often known as the Dead Sea Scroll community. So, anyways, I could talk about this forever. I'm already boring you, I can already tell. So, let me just continue. So, one of those scrolls had these writings. Blessed are those speaking the truth with a pure heart, and do not walk about secretly upon his tongue. Blessed are those taking hold of wisdom's laws and do not take hold of paths of justice. Blessed are those dancing round with wisdom, do not pour out words on paths of foolishness. Blessed are those seeking for wisdom with clean hands and do not rise early for her with a deceitful heart. Basically, blessed are good people. If you're a good person, if you love wisdom and you try to do good things, God will give you his favor, abundance, generosity, blessed. That's what the Qumran community said. 200 years before Christ. Let's get closer to Jesus. A more famous author. Not a group, but a person. His name was Jesus ben Sirach. Not the Bible. There were lots of Jesus in those days. Jesus Christ, is Jesus ben Joseph. Yeshua ben Yosef. Jesus, the son of Joseph. This is Jesus ben Sirach. Jesus, the son of Sirach. He was a famous author, and he wrote a group of blessed. Now look at the number. How many blesseds does he say? I can think of 9 whom I would call blessed. Jesus starts his famous sermon with 9 Beatitudes. And he says, blessed is a man who can rejoice in his children. Blessed is a man who lives to see the downfall of his foes. Blessed is the man who lives with a sensible wife. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Okay, only one person left, that's fine. And the one who does not plow with an ox and donkey together. This goes back to the Torah, you don't mix things. Blessed is the one who does not sin with the tongue, and the one who has not served an inferior. Blessed is the one who finds a friend, and the one who speaks to attentive listeners. Thanks, Grace.
On Sunday.
On Sunday. Yeah. Now, the other 6, I can understand. Look at the ones I underlined. Interesting. Lives to see the downfall of his foes. If you live to see your enemy, the people who don't like you, if you live to see them die, you're blessed. To see them fail, God has blessed you, according to Jesus ben Sirach. Look at the second one. Who has not served an inferior. If you live your life and you had so much honor, you were never required to humble yourself so that you apologize to someone of a lower status. You've never made a mistake so that you never had to say sorry to someone in a lower position. You're blessed, is what he says. You see that? And the last one. If you're someone who can stand on a stage, have the microphone, let the lights and the camera be pointed at you, you're blessed. You have position. You have influence. You're a leader, quote unquote. You're blessed. Now, let's go back to Jesus ben Joseph. This is Jesus ben Sirach. What does Jesus say? If you're an influencer, if you have a position, if you have possessions, no. If you're poor, if you have nothing, if you are spiritually bankrupt. The moment you realize you cannot save yourself, that's the moment heaven is able to come into your heart. The kingdom of God is yours. You, crippled, paralyzed, lame, blind, demon-possessed, fisherman, uneducated, no achievement, underachiever, poverty-stricken, not a politician, no followers, you possess the kingdom of God. It's not that you deserve it. You see, it doesn't say you deserve it. You qualify. He just says, it's yours. You get it. God, why don't more Japanese people believe the gospel? Why can't the church explode in Japan? I think one of the reasons is most people are not poor in spirit, they're middle class in spirit. They have resources. They're able to sustain themselves. They're able to provide for themselves. They don't know what it means or feels like to be like, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. I think that's one of the reasons. And yet at the other end of it, I think that Japan is full of the poor in spirit. High rate of depression, high rate of suicide. A growing rate of divorce. And with any advancing civilization or society, because of technology, a greater separation from community. Poor in spirit. And he says, to those who are not in any position of power or influence, that's what you get. You get the earth. You get the world that God made. It's not the shachos or the presidents. It's not the prime ministers. It's the meek. Meek means basically low. Low in position. That's what it means. Humble. You're going to get something that this world is not going to give to you. So, what do you get? You get the kingdom of heaven. We're going to come home on this. This is my favorite. I just love this. The poor in spirit receive the kingdom of heaven. So, let's meditate. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is heaven? Up in the clouds with wings and a halo? No. Heaven coming down means a lot of things. Heaven means a lot of things, but at least let's think of three. I can think of three. Order, abundance, and beauty. Order means right relationships. Things put in their proper place. The piano goes here, the electrone goes there. The projector goes here, the camera goes there. It doesn't go the other way around. There's order. But not only that, the right relationships between things and each other and with God. And so when things are out of order, for example, your body. When your body is out of order, it's disease. But when heaven comes into your body, it comes into order. That's what Jesus did. He put the order of heaven onto the paralyzed and the lame so that they can be healed. So there's healing in the order. Jesus brought bread to thousands of people because there's more than enough in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of man, you have to get what's yours at the expense of others. Beauty. Okay, this is me preaching. Let me just show you a video. Kunishige-san, kore dajoubu kana? Kore wa douga desu kedo. Saisei wa dekiru kana? It's actually, 実は動画です. It's a video. It's from TikTok. It's a TikTok video. はい。クリックしたら、お、お、動きそう。Oh, よかった、よかった。
Oh,
yeah, you can turn the, 音量消していいです。うん。逆。音量を消していいです。That's okay. I can talk. yeah, その動画の上に話してもいいですよ。はい。So this is a TikToker. He's actually a YouTuber. And as you can see, his job is to clean the yards and lawns. So he's a TikToker. His name is Tim. He's from Australia. His YouTube page is Tim.The Lawnmower Man. Okay, and so he has 132,000 subscribers. And his videos are simple. It just shows him cleaning, cutting grass, and cleaning gardens and yards. Yeah. And so he has a business. That's his business in Australia. And so his business is so successful.That on Fridays, he'll just knock on somebody's door and he'll say, Hello, I saw your grass, it's very tall, and your garden, it's all weeds. I would like to cut your grass for free. It's called Free Mow Fridays. So he just knocks on doors. Most people say yes. Some people say, Get out of here, you're crazy. But most people say yes. And so he has these videos of him.Just mowing overgrown grass, right? And he's taking these gardens that should be beautiful and these driveways that should have concrete, and he's making them new again, okay? To me, when I saw this video, I thought, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven. And there was one video, he knocks on the door,And you can listen to their conversation. You can tell they're poor. Because he says, I'd like to mow your lawn for free. And the home, the person who's there, he says, What? I don't have to pay you? And he says, No, this is going to be free. And he starts crying. And he says, he gives him a hug. And he calls his family. He says, look at this man. He's a good heart. And they're thanking him.Because they don't have money to keep up their garden or their lawn. It's a big, huge garden. And this man, Tim, he's been so blessed. He has the abundance. He has time. He has resources. He has machines. And he wants to give it for free. And what is he doing? He's making the world beautiful again. And he's bringing the order of heaven.Whereas it was growing over with weeds and the grass was going onto the driveway and, you know, all the branches were going over everywhere. No, he pushed the chaos back and he made it beautiful. There he brought order, abundance, and beauty. Who? To the poor in spirit. If you have the gospel and you have heaven come down into your heart, this is us.This is us. We are here to make the world beautiful again. The kingdom of heaven. How? Through Jesus Christ, who was rich, but for us became poor. He put aside his wealth, his glory, his honor, and put on the clothes of a servant and was crucified.And so now we don't know who Jesus ben Sirach is. We know Jesus ben Joseph. We know Jesus the Son of God. Because he taught us the true value of the kingdom of heaven. That's the Beatitudes. We're going to study that for the next few Sundays. It's all upside down. It's all inside out. And it's beautiful. I can't wait. Amen? Amen. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time together and our time in the Word. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to see the beauty, the order, and the abundance that you've blessed us with so that we can give it to others and see the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.